Hey there. Welcome back to What's Up. This is the podcast where I discuss the Chris Watts murder case. In this episode, I'm going to be talking a little bit more about Sandy Rusek, Sandy being Shanann's mom. Okay, so I want to talk about Sandy because it seemed like she had this incredible intuition. I mean, obviously, I think it's very clear from her interviews and the photos that she really, really loved her daughter. She really obviously loved her granddaughter. She loved her family. So it's just devastating to see what has happened to them. So what I want to talk about, however, is Sandy's apparent intuition, because it seems incredibly strong, almost like astonishing. So I felt like her and Nicole Atkinson seemed to have the wisdom of foresight, like they seemed to know what was going on even before anyone else did. So how did they know this? Are they psychic? No, I don't think they're psychic. So here's what I'm thinking. Sandy Rusek, she was on the Dr. Phil show. And when she was on Dr. Phil, she actually said, "I felt my daughter's spirit the moment she died. Something woke me up and I sat at the foot of my bed and, you know, a spear went through my forehead and I heard the Holy Spirit say, 'Shanann.' And I said, 'Holy hell, something happened to my daughter.'" Now, this could just be made up. I don't believe that it is. I believe she had a feeling and it was very strong. And something came to her and something alerted her. And her son, Frank Jr., also backed this up and said that his mom was going crazy. And she knew at the time that Shanann was killed that something bad had happened. She didn't know exactly what, but something terrible had happened. So how did she know this? I mean, by this point, as far as she knew, Shanann was just back at her house in Colorado. Everything was fine. She had no way of knowing that something awful had happened to Shanann. So did some spirit come to Sandy and alert her to this? Well, I don't know. I guess it's possible. I'm not saying it's impossible. I have no idea. But I think she's a mother, and they say the bond between a mother and their child is incredibly strong. Even several hundred miles away, maybe something came to her, either in a dream or an awakened state, that gave her this sort of shock. And she was like, "Oh my God, something terrible has happened to my daughter." So, like I said, I feel Sandy was very intuitive and she seemed to have a lot of knowledge that you don't really know how she got this knowledge. So, like, for example, she actually very early on suspected foul play. So she told police that she was worried that Chris was going to pour oil all over their bodies to hide them. Now, this is well before Chris confessed and revealed the horrible, disgusting fact that he did put Bella and Celeste into oil tanks. But Sandy didn't know this. All Sandy knew was that Chris worked for an oil company. So she could have just put two and two together. I mean, her family's missing. Her daughter's missing, her granddaughters are missing, her son is acting suspicious, her son works for an oil company. All Chris wants to do is go back to work so he can sort of create a sense of normalcy, I suppose, or maybe he wants to go back to find the missing sheet that he stupidly left at the oil site. You know, ridiculous. I don't know why she knew that he was going to pour oil on their bodies. I mean, he didn't technically pour oil on their bodies. He put them in the tanks, and the oil was inside the tanks, so they were in there. But close enough, right? Okay. So I think that Sandy and Nicole Atkinson, they both knew something was in the air. Now, it's not like the Phil Collins song, "Something's in the Air Tonight." I mean, they knew there's something in the air in that they were both spending time with Shanann. So even though public perception was that their marriage was intact, and I think if it wasn't intact, she would not have picked up and gone away to North Carolina for 6 weeks, leaving her husband back home in the house alone. Like, obviously, if she thinks her husband is going to be cheating, the cat is not going to go away so that the mouse can play. So I think from her perspective, everything was fine. Now, I go back and forth on this. I wonder if maybe their marriage was already crumbling, and that's why she went to North Carolina in the first place. But okay, so let's table that for a moment. Let's say that's not why she went to North Carolina. She was just going for a visit. That's it. Nothing sinister, nothing weird or bad about that. So she goes to North Carolina. She's with her family for all these weeks. And while she's with her family, I'd have to assume she talked with her family about her marriage, good or bad. I'm not saying she had bad conversations with them. I'm saying she's just physically with them. So what are they going to talk about? They're going to talk about family matters. So maybe she reveals to her parents, more specifically to her mother, that things aren't so great with Chris. Also, while she's in North Carolina, he is completely ignoring her. And he's being distant from her. And he's not returning calls and not returning text messages. So she's getting incredibly suspicious of him. On top of the fact that she's pregnant and she's got lupus and she's just really worried. You know that feeling you get when you're like away from home and you're like, what's going on back home? You always just feel a little bit out of sorts. Even if you're very happy, even if you're in like Barbados or, you know, somewhere awesome, Hawaii, you're still like a little bit concerned about what's going back at home, especially if what's going back at home is your husband is back at home and you're thinking, oh my God, is he cheating on me? Like, why is he ignoring me? Why is he acting weird? Why is he acting cold? Why is he acting distant? And I would have to believe that Shanann would tell this to her mother. Not for any other reason, not like her mother's her bestie or her confidant, but her mother is there with her. So when you're with somebody, whether this is the person of choice or not, you're going to turn to the person who is physically there beside you, and you're going to tell them what's on your mind. And even if you don't want to tell them what's on your mind, they're going to notice that you're acting a little bit upset, and they're going to draw you out. They're going to ask you, why are you so upset? And you're going to feel forced to tell them. So maybe Shanann told her mom that something was very, very wrong with the marriage. She was concerned about Chris. She didn't know what the hell was going on. Maybe she thought he had the potential to be violent. Maybe she revealed he had been violent before, although no one has come forward to say that. So maybe that's what was going on. Maybe she alerted Sandy to a side of Chris that Sandy was never even aware of before. So maybe that's why Sandy had that premonition, and maybe that's why she thought Chris would pour the oil over the bodies, because she already had this in her mind from Shanann, who was telling her that the marriage was not doing so great at that time, and she was worried, okay? So I think that, so in terms of Sandy and Nicole Atkinson, I think this is large part why they were so quick to react. Because Nicole Atkinson was with Shanann in Arizona. They were together the entire weekend. So Shanann, again, the same scenario as Sandy. She would have had plenty of time to talk with Shanann, tell her what's going on, address her concerns, express her concerns, talk with her about what she is feeling about her marriage. And maybe she's worried about Chris and his behavior, which seems a little bit bizarre, and she's worried about this. So now two people who are very close to Shanann, Nicole Atkinson and Sandy, Shanann's mother, both are getting wind of something that Shanann is picking up on, and she's worried about this. So the fact that Nicole Atkinson intervenes so early on, I don't think it's unprecedented or necessarily heroic. I think it is heroic, but I don't think it's necessarily due to some sort of amazing foresight. That's part of it. I mean, I think she was a very good friend to step in as quickly as she did. But I think that most people would say, and I would say, that the average person does not call the police after they haven't spoken with someone for only a few hours. Nicole dropped Shanann off at 2 o'clock in the morning, so she didn't hear from her, so now it's noon. It's not that long a period of time to be out of touch with your friend. Maybe your friend's busy. Maybe she's doing something. Maybe she doesn't feel like talking. Maybe she's sleeping. There's 100 reasons why she may not have gotten back in touch with you. So I would think that any average person would say, yeah, she's probably just busy right now. That's probably why she's not getting back to me. But Nicole Atkinson took it a step further. She was deeply worried and deeply concerned, and rightly so, and that bared itself out. So she got in her car and drove over. Who does that? I would say a very good friend, a very concerned friend, but also perhaps a friend who had some sort of knowledge that potentially something was very, very deeply wrong. I don't know that, but I feel that that's a strong possibility. Again, who calls the police? Like, you have to really think something bad has happened to call the police. You're just going to call for a wellness check? And she knows that these are things that the police do? They do wellness checks? Is this something that she's highly aware of? Does she have friends who are in law enforcement? Like, how does she even know that they even do that? So she does do that. She does go through all this extra, you know, measures to try to protect her friend. And, you know, she wants to make sure that she's okay. So that's what she does. And she was spot on. And thanks to her and thanks to Sandy and thanks to the family being incredibly proactive with all of this, I think that they were able to go at warp speed to get Chris to confess because they closed all the doors around him. There was really no way out for him. He was stuck because the police were in his house only hours after he buried Shanann's body and put his daughters into oil tanks. There was nothing he can do because by this point, all eyes were on him. He couldn't just disappear. Everyone is now watching him like a hawk, okay? So I think it's very, it's great that they intervened so early, but I do feel there's a very good possibility they had knowledge that other people didn't have. And here's why I say that. So when police were talking with Nicole Kessinger, they told her that she should not feel bad for not coming forward earlier. So apparently Nicole had expressed that she felt bad that she didn't call the police earlier on. Now, Kevin Kobach, the detective, he assures her, don't feel bad. You have no reason to feel bad about this. You didn't know anything was wrong. You just figured they were missing. Big deal. She probably just took off to blow off some steam. That's what you thought. And that is logical. But other parties, this is what he said, other parties had information that you didn't have. He does not specify who these other parties are, but he does make it very clear to Nicole that other people had information which caused them to feel it was worthy of calling the police. So this leads me to believe that either Sandy or Nicole Atkinson or both of them got wind of this idea that perhaps Chris may have done something violent to Shanann. How did they know this? Was it just strictly a gut instinct? Or did Shanann reveal something to them that made them think, oh my God, we're not hearing from her. Something is terribly, terribly wrong. We need to get the police involved. Now, they could have been wrong about it. They could have called the police. The police could have come over, and then Shanann arrived back home later that day. And that would have been wonderful. And I wouldn't be here talking about it. None of us would even know who these families are. But obviously that didn't happen. But they could have, she could have just, you know, been overly zealous, I guess. Like, she could have just taken extreme measures and steps to try to protect her friend, and she could have been completely wrong, but she was right, and so was Sandy. So, excuse me. Sandy also told the police before anyone, before Chris had confessed, about the oil that he was going to pour all over their bodies. This is what she said. This is before Chris talked about putting the kids in oil wells Sandy knew nothing of it. The public knew nothing about it. But Sandy said, I think foul play is involved here. And I think that I'm worried that Chris is going to pour oil all over their bodies to bury them or hide them. So how did she know this? So if you're considering reason and logic, she knows that Chris works for Anadarko Petroleum, an oil company. So maybe she's thinking the logical steps that he would take if he was going to hide dead bodies. And at this point, she doesn't know that they're dead. She just knows that they're missing. If he's going to hide dead bodies, maybe he's going to use all the tools in his arsenal, which are oil, because he works for an oil company. So that makes sense. Also, he was so determined to go back to his job, and she thought his behavior is off the charts crazy. Why does he want to go back to work? His family is missing. Now, in my mind, I can fully understand why he wants to go back to work, because he wants to get the hell away from all of the hawks that are watching him. Everyone's watching him like a hawk. They're watching his every single move. He just wants to get the hell out of there. Also, the fact that they found a sheet on survey 319. They found the bed sheet there. Like, why did he leave it there? Did he suddenly remember that he had left the sheet there? Is that why he wanted to get back there? I mean, I assume he wanted to get back to survey 319 to clean up any mess that he may have forgotten. But by now, it's just too late because the police are all over the place. The family's all over the place. The media's all over the place. He doesn't have any chance to do any single thing privately. Everyone is watching him. The only people who are sort of really bonding and staying by his side are his friends Nick and Amanda Thayer. And as I said in another episode, Nick and Amanda felt horrible about this. They felt completely ashamed and awful that they were supporting Chris. Now, I don't blame them. He was their friend for years, and they didn't think there's anything wrong with him, and they just figured he was getting a raw deal, and people were falsely accusing him. So they stood by his side. I think that's what good friends do. Until it becomes so obvious that all the evidence is pointing to Chris. And then by that point, they said, okay, we're going to jump ship. We're done with you. But I understand why they had loyalty towards their friend. That's what people do. So, you know, Sandy was so disturbed over Chris's behavior, both in North Carolina when he was visiting on the final week of that fateful trip. So he apparently was driving fast. He was ignoring Shanann and being very distant with her. They're sleeping in separate beds. And he was also acting very strange after the murders. But, you know, she just knew. Sandy knew. She saw him. She had spent time with him. She viewed his behavior, which was completely different than anything she had been accustomed to. So she's kind of picking up on this. And I think Chris going back to work, or his intention to go back to work, was to try to normalize things and try to make it seem like everything's fine. You know, who leaves a bedsheet out there blowing in the breeze? That's pretty stupid and careless. So, as I'm saying overall, I think that Sandy Rusek, Shanann's mom, as well as Nicole Atkinson, I think they both got wind that something was happening. Something bad was brewing, and they got wind of it. And I think, even though it's nice to believe that people have psychic abilities and psychic powers, and they can see the future and they know what's going on, I tend to believe that logic is an easier and more believable explanation. I think that Shanann shared some information with them about the state of her marriage and perhaps her fears about him and what he may or may not be capable of. And I think that is why they acted out so early. I think that is why Sandy had this premonition with the spear going through her head. I think she actually did have this vision. But I think there's a reason for it. I don't think it came out of nowhere. Okay. Alrighty. Well, those are my 2 cents for today. Thank you again for listening. I truly appreciate it. If you like what you hear, please like, subscribe, leave a comment. It really helps me out. Thank you so much for listening. Have an awesome day, and I will speak with you soon. Take care.